John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 13. We are continuing our study of the I am statements of Jesus. The I am statements of Jesus. John actually packs 7 I am statements in his gospel. And as I mentioned last week, for those of you who weren't here, it's more than just Jesus talking about that he's hungry. He's not saying, I'm hungry, or I'm the son of a carpenter, or that type of thing. In these statements, Jesus, the literal translation of when Jesus says, I am, it says, I am. That's the literal translation. I am. Meaning that I myself am. I myself am. And that points for the readers of John, for the first people who read this book in John, and for the first hearers as Jesus was saying it to his disciples mainly, that points way back to Exodus chapter 3, where there was another time where we hear these words, I am. When God is standing in front of Moses, or Moses is standing in front of God, I should say that. When Moses is standing in front of God, and God says, this is my name, I am. I am that I am. And in these words, with this I am statement, in the I am statements of Jesus, with these words, Jesus is essentially saying, is not essentially saying, he's saying it, I am God. I am God. And John's really good about painting the parallel between Jesus and God, saying, I am God. I am God. About making that comparison. So we'll begin reading today at John 13, verse 31. When Judas was gone, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me, doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And that's as far as we'll read today. We're continuing this study of the I Am statements. And Jesus says he is the way and the truth and the life. He is the way. Not that he will show us the way, like the way is over there somewhere to God. You want to get to God, you go over there. He's not pointing somewhere else. Rather, he points at himself. He says, you want to see the way? I am the way. And it's here that we start to begin to see how God and Jesus, beyond his statement of I am, is this comparison already. I am the way. And when I read this many years ago, at first I thought, man, you got ego. You got an ego, Jesus. You got an ego the size of Mount Everest. So either Jesus is telling the truth, or he's got an ego the size of Mount Everest. But we all know that Jesus is humble. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is the way. He is the person that draws God, us to God. He draws us closer to the Lord himself. Jesus is also truth. Truth. Jesus listens to the Father. He obeys the Father. He is the authority of the Lord himself, of God the Father Almighty. Jesus is that person, this truth that God exists, that God is everything. It's not right or wrong. It's absolute. This is the way it is, that type of truth. And if you don't believe that, then it's not right. And Jesus, of course, is the life. The life. God is life. God created life. And Jesus says here, I am the life. I'm the truth and the life that paves the way for you to be saved. If you want to get to heaven, if you want to be right in the world, if you want eternal life, you have to go through me, says Christ. As Christians, we believe that. As Christians, we trust in these words. We believe them. In fact, we say these words every now and then. In the Apostles' Creed, we say these words, don't we? In fact, if I may so impose, can we have the Apostles' Creed come up? Here it is. Can you all read this? If not, I will read it for you. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. As Christians, we say these words in church every now and then. It doesn't matter which church you go to, which Christian church. If they are a Christian church that believes in the non-negotiables, these are the non-negotiables. Okay? These are the non-negotiables. When we say this in earnest, we are going really, 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 really in the opposite direction of our culture these days. I had the pleasure of being at a CLASSIS meeting yesterday. CLASSIS, for those who don't know, is the name for a regional body of churches coming together. It's essentially, CLASSIS is a meeting. Okay, so all of the Christian Reformed churches, we from the area, we all get together and we have a day-long meeting, which is really good. I don't like that it takes a day out of my week, but other than that, the meeting's really good. And Trevor came with me and Gord came with me, and we went together. And we learned something there about our culture today that may be surprising for you to understand, and maybe not so. We learned there's this study that came out. It's called the Renegotiating Faith Study. And this study calls us, our Canadian context, a universal Gnostic religious ethic. That's easy, huh? But this universal Gnostic religious ethic, these are some of the illustrations within it. If you believe this stuff, then you think that all religions are the same. That is, once you start cracking the nut, then you get behind all the wonderful, beautiful things that religion is and draws people into. Once you get beyond that, these people think that all religions are the same, and that they all bring us, and that those who are not religious, who do not want to be religious, they are smarter than most of us. They believe that our religion, or that religion in general, is functional, that it is a crutch in which to lean on. So we got a problem and we lean on the religious crutch, and we come and we are part of a church body, and we don't need to be that if we are smarter than that. The best thing, the most important thing for the universal Gnostic religious ethic is harmony within society. Harmony. We all get along. Everyone gets along. Everyone. So it doesn't matter where you come from, because we know that religion is the source of all the issues. And so we just get along. Everybody, one big collective hug. And of course, there is no need for God. There is no need for heaven or hell, because all of that are elements of religion. You see, this is the reality of the context that we live in our world here, right now. This isn't some, oh man, we better avoid that. No, we live this. We are in this right now. This study came out this study came out to talk about why young adults are leaving the church in droves. Pardon me. And I could see where it's coming from, because we believe this stuff. We honestly, our leadership in our country believes this. Many of our Christian churches are beginning to believe this. And in fact, we are running into trouble if we stand up and say the Apostles' Creed in earnest as Christians. We think about often think about the younger people that are the young adults that, and that's what I said the study is geared toward. But I think it's geared towards all of us. It's geared towards our young kids because they are products of this too. Going in what they go to school, they hear this, they live it, they feel it, they see it. Our young adults, of course, our high school age kids, same thing. Our adults who have children, maybe. If you're adults and you got adult children, then you are seeing this too. You are feeling this angst about the society and how all of this is coming together and drawing us away from each other. And as I was thinking about this morning, because that's when all of this came to light for me, I was thinking about how our kids relate to us, or those outside of our circles relate to us in this. Do they feel sorry for us because we have this crutch that we are leaning on? Do they think that we have the old-fashioned ways of looking at things and that we better smarten up? Are our kids wondering what they should do to make us right with the world rather than us making them right? What kind of message are we sending to our children? What kind of message are we sending to our parents? What kind of message are we sending out from here? That everybody else is wrong and that we are right. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." This is the hard fact. And when we say that Jesus is the way and that there is no other way, we are going against this world so badly, so profoundly. You know, before today, before this morning, I was ready to come up here and start talking about the world's different religions, like Hinduism and Buddhism and stuff like that, which also would balk at this. But I see that we have a more pressing problem today. And the pressing problem is this. We are living in a society that wants nothing to do with God, that wants nothing to do with heaven or hell. These are false teachings to them. They want nothing to do with it. And even churches, Christian churches, those who proclaim to some Christian churches are falling into this trap. In a way to get people in the door. It's called consumerism. They want to be consumers. The church is geared ultimately towards consumers because we live in a consumer culture as well. So how do we combat all of this? What is it that we need to do to really dig in and combat this problem that we have with this worldview that is spewing lies? Like, and I mean every day, all day, bombarding, coming right from the highest place in Canada, who I'm not even going to say who, right down to teachers and everyday folk. That we don't need any of this. What do we do? It's tough, because we were talking about that too yesterday. And what we came up with was community. Community. You know, they spouted a lot of statistics yesterday. And statistics are great things. But what it boils down to is that we here in this, as a body of Christ, need to show everyone that we are a body of Christ. That we are together. That we are listening and taking and following Jesus as we are working. That we are so against this world and the ways that it's teaching in a peaceful way. We don't want to start beating on people, right? We don't want that. But in a peaceful way, we have to stand up and be noticed. And that's tough. And it's tough, and I'll tell you why it's tough, because we have such a distance between us and those that we want to reach out to. We are so busy. We are so stressed. If we have adult children, they are so far away. All these things, listen, I'm telling you. Karen and I, are lucky if we get 24 hours of our kids visiting about every 3 or 4 months. Now, how am I supposed to talk to my kids about faith in that time period? It takes involvement. It takes wrapping our arms around. It takes getting a hold of our post-secondary students and shooting them a text, giving them a card, letting them know that we're still thinking about them. It includes drawing up our young children into the community and saying, you know what, we affirm you. And yes, we are doing this stuff, some of it, but we got to keep on going because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because Jesus is this, and we proclaim it. We have to close in the circle a bit. Close it in. Be the community of Christ. Join with other Christians. Be the community of Christ. Because if we don't, as one person said yesterday, 40 years from now, you can close your doors. I wonder if 40 years is an accurate number. Folks, we live in a time where Jesus is the way, always was, always will be. This is a truth that has never changed. And we need to follow him. Amen. Lord God, we thank you once again that you bless us. We thank you, Lord, that we can be aware of where we live. That we can be aware of who we are. And that we can be aware of the vast difference and the struggle that it is. Lord, we ask for your presence in our daily lives as we commune with one another, talk with one another, live with one another, befriend one another, as we befriend our children and our parents and our grandkids and our cousins and fellow Christians, as we draw each other together. Lord, and as we learn to live in community in our fragmented world, help us, God, we pray, so that we can honor you. Help us to see that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that the only way to follow and to get eternal life is through you. In Christ, amen.